Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Let's receive my brother, my friend, Pastor Seyi Oladimeji, as he brings us God's word this morning.
Let's lift up our hands to him this morning. We give you praise, for in Jesus' name we worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Help me to please welcome your neighbor to church. Say, neighbor, you are welcome. It's my privilege and honor to sit beside you. Hallelujah. It's good to have Pastor back home. Amen. He's looking fresh. And I want to watch so when else you are going. You may need to carry so many people along. Now that you want to have a home there, praise God. You know, each time you travel out of Nigeria, you, especially to African country, you want to thank God for Nigeria. You know, you don't appreciate what you have until you see it in other climes. We thank God. We are not an accident of history. That we are Nigerians is not an accident. Amen? Praise God. Now, my time is counting. Like, let's read from God's word. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51, verse number 1-3. I'm going to read from three passages of scriptures, and we're on Isaiah 51. Okay, from verse number 1-3, he said, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Say, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I call him alone, and I bless him, and I increase him. Therefore, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. He said, joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." That will be your testimony. You will find joy today. You will have cause to thank God today. In the mighty name of Jesus, open with me again to Genesis chapter 31. Let's read from verse 9 to 12. Genesis 31, verses 9 to 12. "And so God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me." Verse 10 say, "And it happened at the time when the flock conceived that I lifted my eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the ram which leaped upon the flock was streaked and speckled and gray spotted." Verse 11 say, "Then the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flock and streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. For I have seen all Laban is doing to you." Okay, so now, Esther chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, "After these things, when the wrath of the king Ahasuerus subsided, remember Vashti, what she has done, and what had been decreed against her." No, Esther chapter 8, Esther chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. Esther 8, verse 1 to 2. Not Esther chapter 2. Esther 8, 1 to 2. And on that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. Verse 2 says, so the king took off his singlet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. As a matter of fact, if you read that in the Living Bible translation, the scripture says that Esther appointed Mordecai over the estate of Haman. God is going to transfer the estate of some people to your hand this season, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, this morning, I just want to do a little bit of Bible study with us on the season of wealth transfer. The season of wealth transfer. There is a change of season in the realm of the spirit, and is about to manifest physically. We need to position ourselves in the agenda of heaven for this season, because this season is for the elevation of many Christians in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, COVID-19 that struck in late 2019 and became pronounced in 2020 is a sign that we have come to the end of an era and we have begun the beginning of a new one. So 2020, so to speak, is a prophetic year that announces the close of an era and the beginning of a new one. I'm going to be speaking in parables. I pray that God will grant you an understanding. You will hear a voice within my voice, beyond what I am saying, because some of the things I'm going to be saying, they are revelations, and you cannot reduce revelation to an explanation. So you'll be struggling, no matter the vocabulary at my disposal. But I have prayed before we came that God will reveal these things to you so that you can position yourself in what God is doing. You know, the Bible says we should arise and shine, for our light has come. Isaiah chapter 60. It said, darkness will cover the people. Everything that is happening in our world today is the fulfillment of prophecies was given thousands of years, even before we were born. So history is God's story. Jesus is the center of human history before his birth, AD, and after his death, BC. So whether human being likes it or not, they will have to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And I pray that this season will bring you elevation in the mighty name of Jesus. Whenever God wants to get people's attention, it touches the economy throughout the Bible times. You can see every time he blesses them, he will warn them, when you are blessed, remember. But, you know, the people that live in Bible days, they are not different from us. They are the same. Human beings are the same. Okay, so it is good to read the Bible and to be thinking that, why did these people behave like that? But are we behaving better today? There is nothing new under the sun. Man has always been who he is. But the mercy of God will reach us in this season, in our nation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay. I believe under God that the prophetic word has gone ahead of time concerning Nigeria is coming to fruition now in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, Pa Elton has prophesied that Nigeria will be known for corruption all over the world, and I think we have fulfilled that now sufficiently. So, and we are the close of that chapter. He said, after that, a new era of Nigeria will arise, and nations of the world will want to be coming to Nigeria to learn righteousness. We are in that season now. So there's a change of season. There's a sound in the realm of the spirit. And I want you to listen very carefully. You know, in year 2019, we had a conference in Kassin, and the theme of our conference that year was the Church of the Future. And the future of the church, that's the theme of the conference. And the conference held in September, last Monday in September. So And everybody that spoke, our guests, they were speaking about the future church, how the church will look into the how the church will look in the future, how, you know, people will begin to worship God in their private homes, would use technology, how, you know, this in-person gathering will be, and all the cathedral we are building will not be useful again. And wow. We enter 2020. When the lockdown happened, people began to call me. Did you see it coming? I said, no. I am not a prophet, and I don't claim to be one, but I follow biblical prophecies. And that team that year was inspired by the Holy Spirit. I have had another one. It's a season of word transfer. If you can catch it, I pray you will partake in it. In the mighty name of Jesus. We have come to a new season, and it is already in the air. It's already in the air. And in the next few months and 1 year to come, two years, you will be seeing the manifestation of this prophecy that the Church of Jesus Christ has come to a new season. The Church of Nigeria has come to a new season. When I talk about the church, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you. If you are a Christian, you are coming to a new season. Now, that scripture we read in Isaiah chapter 51, it said, look to your father, Abraham. Look to your mother, Sarah, for I call him alone and I bless him. Okay, it's like, you know, we have come to a critical season in our nation, and it's not peculiar to Nigeria. All over the world, there is famine. Prices are out of the roof. When you go to the market in the morning, by the time they go back in the evening, prices has changed. And it's like, you know, planning has become so difficult in these days that you don't know what to do. So the question in my mind is that, has it happened before? Can we go to the Bible? And as I was ruminating on that, this passage of scripture came. He said, look to your father, Abraham. And I went to the scripture, and this is my discovery. I discovered that every generation will experience their own famine. Let me start by saying that. Write it down. I am a teacher. I am not a pastor. Every generation will experience their what? Their own famine. It has happened before. So now let's look into the word of God. When it happened in the Bible days, how did those people handle their own season? And we are going to trace some case studies. I'm going to start with Father Abraham because that's the scripture we read. In Genesis chapter 12, Father Abraham, let's start with that. In Genesis 12, if you start to read, let's read from verse 10. I would like to open my Bible so that I can go at my pace. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 10. You know, if you remember, let me give you the etymology of Abraham's journey. Because Abraham was not the first one that God called. It was his father, Terah. If you read Genesis 11, you will see the story, in concluding story there. Terah got to a place called Haran. Haran was like a capital city, a commercial city of those days. And he was enjoying the blessing there. He just felt that he's not going again. So he stayed there. And, you know, God cannot do anything about that. God had to allow him to die in Haran before he will now speak to his son, Abraham. That was the reason why he did it, because God told Terah that he's taking him to a promised land, Canaan. He told him Canaan specifically. But since he could, what happened had happened, so by the time God will come back to start with Abraham, he didn't tell him where he's taking him. He said, you just follow me. Get out of your place. You follow me, because if I tell you now, you can do like your father. You get out and follow me. So that was the beginning of Genesis chapter 12. Are you with me? Now, let's go to verse 10. You know, God has spoken to him. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. I'm going to bless you. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. All that. And the Bible says in verse 4, Abraham departed. Now, God, when you are walking in God's plan, is not an indication that you will not face challenges. Because challenges are normal to living. Is normal to every human being. No, it's God that spoke to him and he's following God. See what happened. Chapter 12, verse 10. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was when Abraham came into Egypt that Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. All pastors' wives are beautiful. The prince of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Then verse 16, he treated Abraham's well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, female donkeys, and servants, male donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is it you that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? You know, I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commended his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Chapter 13. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Then verse 2 says, Abraham was rich in what? In livestock, in silver, and in gold. That is the beginning of the wealth of Abraham. So those who are jackpying now, they are right. But they must know the reason why they are going there. And when it is well with you and your time is up, quickly come back. Abraham went to Egypt, but you know, when he had an encounter there, he came back quickly. This is the beginning. So when you say today Abraham's blessings are mine, Abraham got his blessing by walking with God and his plan for his life. So he came back. And you know that the story, the rest of Abraham's story, how he waited for Isaac and everything he left for Isaac. When it was Isaac season, in Genesis 26, you saw what happened. The Bible said there was a famine that is different from the one that happened in his father's day. Why? So that every generation will know how to walk in the covenant. That's the reason why there is the greatest legacy you can give your children is the legacy of godliness, to introduce them to this God. It is the only thing that they can carry along wherever they go under the sun. And wherever the covenant of day and night exists, the covenant will work there. In the mighty name of Jesus. So the scripture says, case two, concerning Isaac. That's case number two. In Genesis chapter 26, because of time, you can read it when you get home from verse 1 to 14. Let me read verse 12 to 14. Then, because Isaac also wanted to do like his dad, to go to Egypt. God said, "No, you don't go. Stay here. I'm going to bless you." That's instruction. Say instruction. In this new season, you must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In this new season, one of the marks of Christianity is sensitivity to what? The Holy Spirit. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, please, you can wait behind so that after the service, they can minister it to you. The greatest asset that God gave every Christian is this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. When Jesus was here on earth, he's the only one that has the Holy Spirit. That was the reason why he told the disciples that don't go and start ministry. Don't go and preach to anyone until you are endued with power from on high. then you stay somewhere, because otherwise you'll be consumed. The challenges of the day will overwhelm you. And the scripture said they were in the upper room, 120 of them. They were praying. They will read the scriptures more. They will share the word of God. Somebody that has Psalm will bring it. And that was what they were doing for how many days? I don't know how many days after the resurrection. But the Bible says, when the day of Holy Ghost came and he rested on them. Oh my God. The same Peter that was lying before a small girl that he didn't know Christ, stood without making any sermon preparation, and he had to preach a sermon. And in that one sermon, go and read Acts chapter 2. He summarizes the story of creation. And the Bible says 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. Why? Now, he's no longer the one speaking. He has been enveloped by the power of heaven. So boldness come upon him. He's able to face people and declare the word of God. Now, the Holy Spirit, one of the problem, one of the mistakes that many believers have today is that we think that the Holy Spirit is only useful inside church hall. As we are here now, you are conscious of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Answer me now. How many of us know that the Holy Spirit is here? How many of us don't know that the Holy Spirit is here? Okay, the Holy Spirit is here. But you see, when you go out of this place after the service, the Holy Spirit is still with you. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you in your office tomorrow morning. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you when you are discussing with your clients. The Holy Spirit, if you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, is there. You only need to be conscious of his existence. He's a person. He's a personality. He's the greatest gift of God to the New Testament Christian. It comes to help. It's, the Bible calls him our comforter, isn't it? But he's also our helper. Just like a woman is to a man in marriage. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He helps us. And you can ask him anything, including the mundane. If you want to hear the Holy Spirit talk to you, begin to talk to him as if it is physical. And you see, he will be directing you. For example, if you are looking for something in your house, you couldn't know where you place it. Just say, Holy Spirit, where is this thing? How many of us have experienced that before? So, when you are used to that, when you now need to ask him critical questions, it will not be difficult. Some of us, the first time you want to talk to the Holy Spirit is when you want to know the person to be married. That's going to be, you know, a great risk, amen. But you know what am I saying? I'm talking about instruction, divine instruction. Help me to tell your neighbor, instruction. God told Isaac, stay here. Imagine if Isaac didn't know the voice of God. His father is no longer there. Or God is talking and he couldn't hear. Imagine what would have happened. And the scripture says in verse number 12 to 14, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year, what? 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. So he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envy him. In this season, the unbeliever will envy your result.
Amen.
You don't hear me. I said in this season, the unbeliever will envy your result.
Amen.
By reason of walking in this covenant, God will do in your life what has never been done in your family.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
By divine instruction, God will elevate you.
Amen.
You don't hear me. I said by divine instruction. I didn't say God will promote you. God will elevate you.
Amen.
He will increase you.
Amen.
You will not be small.
Amen.
When men are saying there's a casting down, you will say there's a lifting up.
Amen.
This famine is called for you and I to be promoted.
Amen.
And it's going to happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, case number 3 is the case of Jacob that I read. So now, Isaac gave back to Esau and Jacob, isn't it? And Jacob was supposed to be the progenitor of this covenant, Abrahamic covenant. Are you with me? Are you following my Bible study? Good. If you are following, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, clap for Jesus. Yeah. Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, because of time, I will have taken it. Let's read a little bit of 26. Genesis 30, let's start from 26. Genesis 30 from verse number 26. You know what happened to Jacob? Genesis 30 from verse 26. And let me see how fast I can pick. Now, the Bible says, Jacob... Let's start from verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I had done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." When a covenant children of God are walking in any place, God blesses the establishment on the account of them. Okay, so Laban recognized that. He said, "I have learned by experience that this blessing is not natural. Before you came, I know the way I'm doing my business. Now your coming has taken my business to a new level." Okay, so even if you are an employee, please be conscious of the grace of God that you carry. That's my point. Are you with me? How many of us are born again? Raise up your hand. I know I am born again. Now, I don't want this. If you are born again, do like this. Let the angel seize your hand. Yes. Thank you. Now, let it be known to you that you are not an ordinary Nigerian. We are citizens of heaven. We are only here on earth, but we are the only people that operated in two realms at the same time. We are on earth. We are not of the earth. We are seated with Christ in what? In heavenly places, far above principalities and power. Yet, we are here to represent the kingdom of God, to expand the frontiers of God's kingdom. Now, if you are working in any establishment, you may be a salary earner today. That doesn't mean that's your end. You are on a journey. But don't let anybody reduce you to an average Nigerians. And don't be talking like an average Nigerians. Amen? Oh my God, you don't understand what I'm saying. Sincerely speaking, be conscious of who you are. That is my point. Are you with me? Now, when we were staff in this, I normally tell them that, look, I am not a staff. I am not a salary earner. I'm here to fulfill my destiny. And I am not working for anybody. I am working for my destiny. So that consciousness makes me to approach my work with every sense of urgency and seriousness. And to the glory of God, at least the record is still there. Aha. So wherever you will find yourself, leave your footprint on the sand of time. Let it be that when you leave, they will miss you. When we are leaving, they employ three people to share my job for them, yet they couldn't cope because I know I am not working for any man. And invariably, everybody is working for themselves. The way you do something is the way you will do everything. Are you with me? So that job style has not left me till now. Because you are not working for anybody. If you are a salary earner now, you're on a journey, because I'm going to show you from scripture. The plan of God for every New Testament believer is not salary. God gave every children of Israel a portion in the promised land. That is the plan of God. So your own portion is your area of influence that God has given you. So if you are working under somebody, you are working to learn, not to earn. You are not working to eat. You are working to earn and to learn. What you learn when you are working under somebody, nobody can take it away from you. So please, help me to tell your neighbor, you are not working for anybody. Amen? God is our employer. Amen. Everywhere you... So I tell people, I am not working for anyone. I'm working for my destiny. And if you are conscious of that, you don't need anybody to supervise you.
Because when you need to be supervised, before you do what you're supposed to do, you are not conscious of your identity. You are not conscious of your identity. If you are conscious that, look, I am a covenanter. I am going somewhere. I have a destiny to fulfill. And I am going somewhere. My destiny must happen. So when you walk like that, you whether you are in prison or you are in palace, nothing change. Oh my God. See Joseph. See Joseph, a prisoner. In prison, you know prison life is not convenient. Yet, that will not break his spirit. They may devalue Naira. Don't allow your faith to be devalued. God is still on the throne. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. And if your faith is intact, it will answer any day. Your faith will work now. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, that was what happened. If you read the rest of the story, God showed Jacob. You know, because of time, I'm just watching. This thing is pressurizing me. God, now let me read a little bit further. Laban have told him, said, verse 20, then he said, name me your wages and I will give it. It was Laban that first mentioned wages. That's the law of first mention. It's not from God. And he said it not to pay Jacob. He wanted to cheat him. He said, name me your wages. And David hear what Jacob said. Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you, and how your livestock have been with me. For what you had had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, where shall I go and provide for my own house? So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. Let me pass through all your flock today and remove from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And this shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in the time to come. When the subject of my wages come before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goat and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. He agreed to his proposition. And so he removed that day the male goat that was speckled and spotted, or the female goat that was speckled and spotted, everyone that has some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hands of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob's, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Now, Jacob took for himself rods of grain, you know the rest of the story. And this is where God gave Jacob the revelation of what he did. 3 days journey. You know 3 days journey? How distant is that? They separated the flock. So the one that had clean, they are Laban's. And the one that had wrinkles and all that, the one that are not good, said that's your own. So he separated it, the animals, by 3 days journey. So there is no contact. Listen to me. If you're a covenant person, you don't need to steal. If you steal, it means you don't know the person you are. And hear me very well. There is no amount of anything you will steal that will be enough to fulfill your destiny. You are just changing yourself. So 3 days journey apart, they separated it. And now let's go to Genesis chapter 31. And see what the scripture says in Genesis 31. So Jacob had the word that Laban said to his son. Now, by this time, let me start from verse 43 of 30,
Genesis 30. Thus, the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flock, females and male servants, and the camels and the donkeys. Now Jacob had the word of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. Jump to verse 9. Jacob called his wives. Verse 2, and Jacob said that the countenance of Laban has changed. It was not favorable towards him. Then the Lord said to Jacob, Genesis 31, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see that your father's countenance that is not favorable towards me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. Hallelujah. The God of my father has been with me. May God be with you.
Amen.
I pray for you again. May God be with you.
Amen.
May you have a revelation of Abrahamic covenant. That it will settle you in your destiny. That nobody under the sun will be able to shortchange you. In the mighty name of Jesus. He said, but God has been with me. Verse 6, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. And if he said thus, the speckles shall be your wages, then all the flock bore speckles. And if he said thus, the speckles shall be your wages, then all the flock bore streaked. So, verse 9, God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. It's a season of wealth transfer.
Yeah.
I said it's a season of wealth transfer.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it happened, verse 10. At the time when the flock conceived, that I lifted my eyes and I saw in what?
In
a dream. May you have dreams and visions of revelations.
Yeah.
And behold, the rams which lived upon the flock were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now. And see all the rams which live on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Amen.
Amen.
So how did God transfer the word of Laban to him? Through divine revelation. God gave him an idea. He was the first that had animal husbandry and the science of transplanting animals. And it's not as if he brought them together. He saw it in a dream. And when they come to drink, he will put the stuff in front of them. And that was how it became wealthy. This family is going to make you wealthy.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. I don't know who I'm talking about. This family will lead to your own prosperity.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Look at verse 9 that we read. Verse 9 of Genesis 31. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. He didn't steal it. It was God that gave him by divine transfer. It was by conversion. And it's going to happen now. The wealth of the Gentiles are laid off for the just. It's going to happen now. So number case 4 that I will close on is Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. You remember Jacob invariably through Joseph went to Egypt, isn't it? When there was famine. You remember there was famine in the time of Jacob also. And I don't know why there's always food in Egypt. There was always food in Egypt where there's famine everywhere. So it is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. And Jacob had to send his children to go and buy food in Egypt. And there, when they got to Egypt, they didn't know that it was Joseph that is on the affair. It was Joseph that is superintending over the distribution of food. Because God has sent Joseph ahead of time, because he knew that that time will come. Even though when they were selling Joseph into slavery, they didn't know that they are helping God. You know, God has shown Joseph a dream at age 17. Do you remember that? And the dream is going to happen in Egypt. And he was in Canaan with his father, Jacob. How will he get there? God had to arrange what happened to happen. The Bible says, and we know all things work together. All things work together. He didn't have transport money, so something must happen. So when the brother was saying, let's kill him, divine hand said, no, you can't kill him. He's a man of vision. The best way to preserve your life is to catch a revelation from God, because you will not die until you see the fulfillment of that vision. So they said, no, don't let us kill him. Let's put him in the dungeon, in the disputes. Now, the Bible says the traders, when they were coming, yeah, listen, hear me. You know that if you have seen traders before, who normally go to another place to buy stuff, they use their last penny to buy the goods, because they know that when they get to where they live, it will be money multiply, isn't it? Why is it that day they still have change? And it's enough to buy Joseph, divine hand. Oh my God, may God give you understanding. May God position you in a place of destiny fulfillment. And Joseph will get to Egypt, and he's not the only slave in the market. And yet, it is Potiphar that will buy him. Somebody from the palace, divine hand. And the rest is history. Now, this is the story. When Jacob said that they should go and buy food, and when they bought the food, Joseph recognized his brethren. So he ordered the men that are working with him to put their money back. You remember? In the sack. So when they got home, they discovered that, there has been an error. And they reported it to their dad. But you know, he now delayed one of them, that they should go and bring the last one, Benjamin. Because that is the only brother that Joseph had. There are only two that Rachel gave birth to. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. It's good to read the Bible. You can imagine Jacob sorrowing for a son that didn't die. And these terrible guys, will not tell their father the truth. How can you watch your father sorrowing for that like that? And when they were now demanding for, you know, he delayed Simeon, he said, until you bring Benjamin, I'm not going to release him. So when the food that they bought finished, Jacob asked them to go and buy another set. But this time around, he said they should take double money. Have you read that in the Bible? He said, pick the money that you brought the first time. Maybe it's a mistake, but take double money so that you have enough to buy. And they said there is famine in the land. Why is it that there will always be light in Goshen, even there is darkness in Egypt? He said, take double money. So God will always provide for his own children. It's not only men of God that God remember during famine. Because I know the story you like is the story of Elijah that God preserved during famine. God preserved all his children. And in this season, God will preserve you.
Amen.
I said, God will preserve you.
Amen.
The covenant of God will preserve you.
Amen.
He will preserve your household.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. So now, they have been in Egypt, and Joseph died. And another Pharaoh came that didn't know Joseph, and they began to afflict them. And they will be in Egypt for years, for 400 years. Because you remember, when God was telling Abraham about them, he said that his children will be taken to a foreign land. These are children that have not been born. No. He was still waiting for Isaac. He said they will be in the foreign land for 400 years. Biblical prophecy will be fulfilled.
Amen.
Whether the devil likes it or yes. And
All that happened was because it is written. Satan is not that powerful. If you are a Christian, you are the one that is giving him the power. And it's because of your ignorance. You don't know scriptures. If you know scriptures, you will know that it's not that powerful. So, was it Satan that held them in Egypt? Is it Satan that held the people of God in Egypt? Eh? Why are you praying for deliverance to be delivered from what God has ordained? If you are delivered before your deliverance, you will go back into captivity. Amen to Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes,
sir. So, but when the time came for the prophecies to be fulfilled, because the word of God came and he raised a man in the person of Moses. So when you read Exodus 12, when they were leaving, they are not going to leave empty-handed. They must be paid arrears of the work they did for 400 years. The God of the Bible will not shortchange you. If anybody is oppressing you, be patient. Be patient. Let God fight for you. The scripture says when they were leaving, they spoiled Egyptians. Do you see that? Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Is it one of the verses there? Exodus 12. Can you give me Exodus 12? Let's read from verse 21. Exodus 12, verse 21. Are you there? Then Moses called off all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. Okay? Roll it for me. Roll it. Be fast. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until that. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door. And now all the destroyer will come into their houses to strike you. Now, verse. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons. For how long?
Forever.
This is the Passover. So when we eat communion, it's not a joke. We are enacting the ordination of Passover. Because when the evil comes, when the devil that is ravaging the land, when this famine that is ravaging the land sees you and the blood in the realm of the spirits, don't touch this one. No. This one's destiny has been paid for. This one promotion has been paid for. You can delay every other person, but this one. What we are seeing. No, do you know that you have a perfume, you have a smell in the realm of the spirit? Do you know? Apart from the cologne that you spray, every believer have a smell. Genesis 27:27. It says, see, the smell of my son has become the smell of a field, which the Lord God of heaven has blessed. There's a smell. I pray that your fragrance will attract opportunities. In this season, God of heaven, we orchestrate your steps to a place of destiny. One of our brother-in-law, he was just casually one day, just said, let me go and see my friend in the civil service that's working in the federal office, civil service. And when he got there, this is somebody he has not seen for years. He met them sharing land. In Abuja, they are sharing lands in Ikoyi. They asked him, do you want? He said, why not? That was how they gave him land without paying a dime. In Osborne, in Ikoyi. Yes. That was how he got land there. I said, God will transfer wealth to your hand. So in this season, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive. When the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something, go ahead. Don't tell, and in this season that we have come, even if they ask you to do something and you have never done it before, don't say, I don't know how to do it. Oh, you know how to do it. If you don't know, you go and ask. One transaction can redefine your life. Oh,
yes.
I hope you know that.
Yes.
And if God is not looking for somebody to bless, if it's not you, who else? Amen. God will help me to tell you, but God will bless you. The blessing of God is coming upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because one day of favor is better than 100 days of labor. So, verse 36, because of time. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of Egyptians, so that they granted them whatever they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. And that was how they were released. So, let me close with Psalm 136. 136, and we are going to pray together. I pray and I believe that this season will not elude you. Your inheritance in this nation will be delivered to your hand. In the mighty name of Jesus. Psalm 136, you know, God has led our pastor to lead us in a prayer season. That prayer season didn't end. It continues. You must be watchful. In this season, watch and pray. Help me to tell you about watch and pray. Most believers know how to pray. They don't know how to watch. We pray, we don't watch for answers. We don't watch with our spiritual antenna for the manifestation of what we pray for. So that's the reason why many people miss out on what they have labored for in prayer. But that will not be your own portion. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Psalm 136, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercies endures forever." Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his God of what? Gods. For his mercies endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercies endures forever. Jump to verse 10 because of time. Verse 10. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. For let's read it together now. For what? Verse 11. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided Red Sea in two and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. For to him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down the great king for his mercies and slew famous king Sihon, king of Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servants. A heritage to Lighthouse, his church. For his mercy endure forever. So we have come to the season of mercy. Mercy on the platform of the finished work of Calvary. You may not be qualified, but mercy qualifies you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. In this season, the blessing that you didn't work for will come to you. The favor of God will answer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In this season that we have come to, in this church, I see God promoting you on a daily basis. In the mighty name of Jesus. A season of testimony is going to break out in this house. You know, when we started the prayer and fasting, I think the first day that we started, that was the day they brought the paper of the land and the house that was given to this church. I was there. I saw the land. It's not ordinary land, though. It's a land with a building on it. And the building is four flats. Your pastor didn't tell you? He didn't tell you? It's not an empty land. It's a land with a building. And the building on it is four flats. Two down, two up. They brought it with DHL. The document of the land, the document of the house, signed, sealed, and delivered. Now, listen to me. When God is ready to do something, he prompts you to align yourself. The prayer is just to call our consciousness that heaven is about to bless us. Please be on the lookout. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I want you to hold the hand of somebody. Want to pray. Want to pray. Want to activate this covenant. This family is not called so that you will go down. You cannot afford to be talking like unbeliever. The Bible says when men are saying there is casting down, who will say there is a lifting up? You know, the scripture says you will decree a thing and it shall be established. The same person that God wants to decree, you are talking like unbelievers. You don't even know what they are doing. We don't even know where the prices is going. We don't even know that this exchange is now difficult to eat. Abba. The Bible says, don't say before an angel is an error. Do you know the reason why your tongue is red? It's a sign of the covenant. It's a sign of the covenant. When the spy went to see the promised land, what was that thing they gave to Rahab to put on his on her red scarlet? So that's the reason why your tongue is red. God wants you to use it to decree a thing in line with his word. This family is not called for your own downfall. It is called so that God will use it to collect from unbelievers and give it to you. Begin to pray for the person you are holding their hand.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org for more.